Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
So be sure, fellas and girls, that your breakfast always includes a heaping bowl full of delicious, crisp Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. Sergeant Preston and a young man named Ted Sheridan were in the Northwest searching for Ted's father, Professor Emmett Sheridan, who had failed to return from an expedition. They knew that the professor and authority on Indians had planned to investigate a story that gold had been buried near an Indian totem pole. At the Indian village of the Thunderbird Totem, mysterious happenings convinced them that the expedition had met with serious trouble. Having an inkling of where the professor had gone next, Preston and Ted started for the village of the Klawaks, where the unusual fight with the land otters totem was located. The chill dampness of fall weather filled Ted Sheridan with foreboding as the two men rode across the low mountain range toward the Klawak village on the coast.
Sergeant, the story a young Indian Toltec told me about six bearded men following Dad and Professor Fraser seemed fantastic. Until a Russian fellow, Boris, was killed in the Thunderbird village after he tried to shoot Toltec.
We know now from what Toltec told us that it's true.
Dad certainly didn't realize what he was running into, Sergeant. He didn't know, for instance, that the buried treasure known as Brooks Gold is considered to have a curse on it by the Indians. That means they're all hostile to anyone who tries to find it.
That's true.
Moreover, Dad probably didn't suspect that a gang was watching his progress in order to take the gold if he uncovered it.
We found out your father reached the Klawak village safely. We may find... King. King's looking toward the top of the slope.
Hold on,
whoa. What is it, King? What's the matter, fella?
Sergeant, look. A big boulder coming down.
Easy, Blackie. Steady, boy. Easy.
That was close. If King hadn't warned us...
King must have seen someone at the top of the slope just before the boulder started down.
Perhaps it was accidental.
Too steep for us to climb up there and find out. Of course, you say it might have been accidental.
But you don't think so?
Someone else may have been sent with that Russian Boris to spy on Toltec. If so, he may have learned of our mission from one of the Thunderbird tribe.
Anyone might suspect our mission if they saw us inspecting the Thunderbird totem pole at the village.
That's right.
Get up, Blackie.
Come on, boy. Get up!
Sergeant Preston and Ted Sheridan reached the Klawak village on the coast without further incident. They sought out the head of the Klawaks, Chief Moolock, and questioned him concerning Professor Sheridan. They learned that Ted's father and his expedition had visited the Klawak village and had dug near the sacred totem of the land otters. The chief said this had angered the Indians, and they had ordered the expedition from the village. Professor Sheridan and his men had started out to locate the totem of the Skeedan tribe near Skye Gate on Queen Charlotte Islands. Chief Moolock then led Sergeant Preston and Ted to the big totem pole which represented the history of the Klawaks. Preston and Ted saw a weather-beaten carved totem pole on top of a hill overlooking the village, a totem which easily might be a century old.
You with him dig all round totem pole. Them not find gold.
But trouble come to them for digging sacred ground near Totem. Curse of land otters catch those who go upon water.
Oh. The expedition had to cross water to reach Queen Charlotte Island. Mulock, did any other white men come to your village after Professor Sheridan and his men left?
No.
Nothing has happened.
Already Mulock talked too much. Maybe spirit of raven come down from Totem Pool. Walk again.
What do you mean?
You redcoat who bring law. That's why Mulock talk. But dark spirit with head of raven who walk on hilltop near Totem for last 2 night. Say not talk to other white men or land daughters send trouble to village.
Mulock, will you put us up for the night?
You stay in hut at bottom of slope. It under protection of Totem Pole. Come, me take you to hut.
The hut to which Mulock took the sergeant and Ted Sheridan was at the foot of the slope facing the Totem Pole. There was one window opening on the side over which a piece of caribou hung loosely. As soon as Mulock left them, Ted Sheridan spoke.
You heard what he said about a dark spirit walking on the hilltop for 2 nights and warning the Indians?
Yes, I didn't want to press Mulock with further questions. What'd you make of it? He mentioned a spirit with the head of a raven.
Well, the top figure on the totem pole out there is a raven head. Someone using a crude raven head mask may have played upon the superstition of the Indians.
I thought of that, Ted. Mulock said the spirit walked the last 2 nights and told him not to talk to other white men. I have a feeling someone knew we were coming here and came ahead to give that warning.
Perhaps the same one who started that big boulder down the mountain.
That's possible. At least we know that your father was here and left to continue his search among the Skidan tribe on Queen Charlotte Island.
I suppose we've found out about all we can here.
Except who's trying to keep us from getting information about your father and what will be his next move.
Soon darkness fell. And after preparing a cold supper from the supplies they carried in their saddlebags, Sergeant Preston and Ted Sheridan lay down to rest in the hut. The great dog Yukon King stretched out just inside the doorway. Sergeant Preston was awakened at first by King's growl. Then, hearing the weird sounds outside, he awakened Ted, and both men stood up and moved to the doorway. Preston pushed aside the caribou hide that covered the front opening, and they both looked out. A bright moon flooded the slope in front of the hut with light. A short distance away, and partway up the slope, the people of the village were standing with arms outstretched toward the totem pole on top of the hill. They were chanting in a weird, moaning sort of way.
Quiet, fella.
I wonder what it's all about. Perhaps they... Look, Sergeant. Standing off to the side at the base of the totem pole.
A black-robed figure with a large raven head.
An accent. Perhaps if we get
Ted, the Indians would tear us apart if we tried right now. Listen.
Others came before them and violated the sacred ground of the hero of the land otter. A curse has fallen upon them because of it. If the curse of the land otter is to fall upon the Klawak, then bring the two white men who have sought to cast a spell upon your chief. The spirit of the raven has spoken.
As the figure spoke the last words, it seemed to float and melt into the base of the totem pole. The watching Indians seemed stunned for a moment. Then their voices rose in fear and anger as they turned and started down the slope toward the hut.
Steady, King.
Here they come. What can we do, Sergeant?
There's no chance of escape now. We'll have to bluff it through. Don't reach for your gun, Ted, but be ready to if it becomes necessary.
All right, I'll take my cue from you.
Let's step out to meet them. Quiet, King. Quiet, boy. Come on, Ted.
The angry Klawaks moved in a body toward the two motionless figures standing before the visitor's hut. They brandished knives and spears in a threatening manner as they moved forward. Sergeant Preston and Ted stood with arms folded and showed no sign of fear. Then, as the Indians formed a semicircle just a few yards away and started to press onward, Sergeant Preston, in a dramatic manner, raised his right arm high, with palm upward, and spoke commandingly.
Wait! The visitor's lodge is on sacred ground. You dare not approach further. We are invited guests, protected by the word of your chief. You dare not harm us.
What Red Coat say is true. But word of Bullock given only for one night. At dawn, taboo broken.
Hey, great medicine man, Ludo. Word of Chief Moolock protect you now. But at dawn, you be put to death at foot of sacred totem of Raven and Lantern. It Ludo, who must see that spirit of Raven is appeased. Visitor's Lodge, be guarded well. You not escape.
Moolock, until dawn, we are under your protection. I represent the law of the white man. It is forbidden for Indians to harm a wearer of the red coat.
He speaks truth. Red coat not be harmed. But other with him die at dawn to appease spirit of Raven.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, do you fellas and girls start out every morning with a breakfast that would carry you through the tough adventures that Sergeant Preston has in the rugged Yukon? Well, you're smart to eat a good breakfast that includes a heaping bowlful of delicious Quaker-popped wheat or Quaker-popped rice topped with fruit and milk or cream. Remember, the one shot from guns furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Food values that can benefit the whole family. So tomorrow and every morning, pour out big bowls of the nourishing cereal you like to eat. Delicious Quaker popped rice and Quaker popped wheat. And say, fellas and girls, something big is coming at the end of the program. Something new, something different, right out of the great Northwest. Have pencil and paper ready. Keep listening. Now to continue. When Chief Moolock decided that Sergeant Preston would not be harmed, but that Ted Sheridan must die at dawn, the sergeant glanced quickly at the young man beside him. He noticed that Ted's expression had not changed and felt relief that his companion showed such courage. Once more, Preston addressed Moolock.
Am I free to leave the lodge before dawn, Moolock?
Guards watch so young fella not leave lodge. You go now. Leave village of Klawaks.
No, Moolock. I shall go up the slope to the totem of the land otters. There I shall ask that the spirit of the raven appear once more and lift the curse against my young friend so that his life may be spared.
Spirit of Raven, not appear to Redcoat. And power of land otters, strike him down in death for such mockery.
I'm not afraid.
Then go, Redcoat. But you go to death. White man's taboo, not reach Raven and land otters.
Sergeant Preston turned and entered the hut, followed by Ted and King. The Indians dispersed, leaving guards a short distance from the hut to prevent Ted from leaving. Later, Sergeant Preston and King left the hut and walked slowly up the slope toward the totem pole. He felt that many eyes were watching him, but he knew none of the Indians would dare follow him. The bright moonlight was a help. When he reached the totem pole, he searched the ground carefully.
Wait, King. Here's what we're looking for.
The Mountie bent down and examined the earth where Professor Sheridan had dug for the gold.
Fresh footprints were clearly seen.
Just as I thought, that spirit wears heavy shoes. Come here, King. Get the scent, fella. Quiet, boy, quiet. Now trail him, King.
King moved quietly as ordered by his master. The trail took them behind the totem pole. Then it went down the other side of the hill into the trees. From there, it circled around in the shadows toward the village. Sergeant Preston cautiously followed his dog, and they soon approached a hut on the edge of the village. King moved like a gray shadow, and when he reached the back of the hut, he stopped and looked inquiringly at his master. Preston placed his hand on King's neck as a signal for silence. Then he crept forward and crouched beneath the crudely covered opening that served as a window. He listened intently.
Our plan is not working entirely as I had hoped, Ludo. It is not good that the redcoat goes free.
I not persuade Moolak to go against white man's taboo, Ivan.
I have already paid you much gold to help me get rid of them.
I do my part, Ivan. I give you black robe and raven mask to use.
I admit your plan worked well. The professor's son will die at dawn. I shall see to it that the redcoat doesn't get far when he leaves the village.
But do not harm him while he is in village. Taboo of white man is strong.
Ah, that means nothing to me. But don't worry. The Klawaks are not going to be blamed for what happens to him on the trail.
You must be careful. Do not be seen in village. You safe here. Medicine Man Hut is also forbidden to people of village.
I will sleep away while they are taking part in the death ceremony at dawn.
You promise me more gold, Ivan, if my plan succeeds.
Very well. Here, in this pouch is the rest of the gold I promised you. Keep it in your pocket and out of sight.
That's good. Now me go make sure guards watch young fella at visitor's lodge. Me come back.
Here's our chance. Quiet, King.
Quickly but quietly, Sergeant Preston with King beside him moved along the side of the hut. As Ludo left the entrance and started past the corner of the crude shelter, Preston went into action. Watch him, boy. The Mountie quickly moved to the covered entrance. Then, with drawn gun, he entered.
Redcoat.
Don't move, you. I'll take that gun.
I am a guest of the Indians. Why do you do this?
Guests are not allowed to stay in the hut of a medicine man, Ivan. It's forbidden territory.
You know my name.
I got around. If Boris were alive to talk, he'd tell you that.
I knew Boris was dead.
Of course you did. You must have been at the Thunderbird village with him, and you followed us here. You might even be able to tell me about the big boulder that almost hit us up on the mountain trail.
You are only guessing.
Maybe. Here, King. Watch him, fella, while I tie his hands.
Preston tied the Russian's hands behind his back. Then, leaving King to guard him, the Mountie went outside and carried Ludo into the hut. Then tied the Indian's hands and feet.
There. He'll be where we want him when we're ready for him.
You have no proof that I have committed any crime.
I'll let the Klawaks be the judge of that.
What are you going to do?
First, I'll take the black robe and the raven mask you have there. Then you and I'll go through the shadows to the totem pole. Unless you do exactly as I say, I'll use my gun on you.
Before leaving, Preston carried the securely bound Ludo a short distance from the hut and placed him on the ground. Then, taking the black robe and the mask, he headed through the shadows with the Russian toward the totem pole on the hilltop. At the visitor's lodge, Ted paced nervously back and forth. Suddenly, he was startled by a booming cry coming from the slope. Ted went to the doorway and looked toward the totem pole. The villagers were emerging from their huts and hurrying toward the slope. In the bright moonlight, Ted could make out Sergeant Preston standing beside the figure known as the Spirit of the Raven. The guards made no move to stop him as he left the lodge and moved toward the totem pole with the others. Once more, the Klawak stood in awe at the foot of the slope and gazed at the top of the hill.
The redcoat has appeased the landowner. They have sent the spirit of the raven to release the young white man.
The redcoat's power is great. He has talked to the landowners. He has stood with the spirit of the raven.
From his position beside the man Ivan, who once more wore the black robe and the raven mask, Preston saw Ted Sheridan standing beside Chief Moolak. Poking his gun into Ivan's back, Preston ordered,
"Now, Ivan, we'll go down the slope and talk to Moloch. Get going." As the Mountie and the black-robed figure moved toward them, the Indians turned as if to flee. But Preston called out,
"Wait! Do not be afraid. Moloch, come here."
"Raven spirit,
you... You've all been fooled, Moloch. This is not the spirit of the raven. Look!"
With a flourish, the Mountie lifted the mask from Ivan's head and tore off the robe.
"It is a bearded white man.
He desecrated gods and trod sacred ground. He must die, not young stranger."
Wait, Moloch. He is a prisoner of the Redcoats. I ask that you send some of your braves with him to the white man's jail. Ludo, the medicine man, plotted with this Russian to fool you and kill us. You'll find Ludo with a pouch of gold in his pocket lying bound outside his hut.
Sergeant, you did a fine job. Now we'll be able to question this man, Ivan, and get some facts about Father and the others.
I know nothing about them.
You'll talk, Ivan, understand? If you don't, I'll turn you over to the Klawaks.
Give the evil one into my hands.
No, Sergeant. I'll tell you what you want to know.
Tell us what you know about my father, Professor Sheridan. Where is he? What happened to him?
It is a long story. After he and the others left the Klawak village, but no!
My braves go find who fired shot.
Wait, call them back. Well, they've already gone too far. They'll cover any trail the killer may have left. This Russian's done for, Ted.
Oh, that's unfortunate. He was just about to tell us something important.
Evidently, the Russians, whom we've learned are after that gold, consider it important to prevent us from continuing the search. They seem determined to kill anyone we capture who might talk about the expedition.
It's evident that even members of their gang who come to spy on us are watched and killed when necessary. First, there was the Russian fellow Boris at the Thunderbird village, and now this chap, Ivan.
That proves I'll stop at nothing, Ted. Maybe Ludo knows some of the facts they're trying to keep from us. We'll go question him.
Ludo bring evil to village. It not good.
Come with us, Moloch. You'll be able to force Ludo to talk.
Sergeant Preston, Ted Sheridan, and the chief left the slope and walked through the village toward the medicine man's hut. When they approached the spot where Preston had left Ludo, they found several Indians grouped around him. At the chief's command, the Indians moved aside. Sergeant Preston bent down to cut the medicine man's bonds.
I'll cut him loose. Too late again, Ted.
What's the matter, Sergeant?
Someone's knifed Ludo. He's dead.
What?
Braves carry knives, but them not kill Ludo. When we get here, him already dead.
All Indian fear touch medicine man.
What do you think, Sergeant?
Moloch is right, Ted. The Indians wouldn't do it. Someone must have knifed Ludo and then gone to the slope and shot Ivan. The wound indicates a stiletto type of weapon. The Indians carry thick blades. No doubt King could pick up the trail of the killer, but that would take us away from our main purpose. We must continue our search for your father and the expedition above all things. Finding them may solve these murders.
I agree with you.
Me think land orders send someone to revenge evil done by Ludo. Now Redcoat and young fella free to leave at dawn. Ooh-wah!
Shortly after dawn, the sergeant and Ted Sheridan were ready to leave the Klawak village.
Goodbye, Moloch. We leave now for the village of the Skidon tribe.
You cross water to island. Curse of land orders follow others who go hunt gold. Curse strong on water. You watch.
We'll be careful.
I hope we have better luck and get some trace of Dad when we locate the burial totem on Queen Charlotte Islands. I'm sure that's where the expedition went.
Perhaps we will succeed, Ted. And with three men already dead, I sincerely hope there'll be no more killing before this case is closed. Now, come along, King. Steady, Blackie.
Easy, boy.
Get up, Blackie.
Come on, get up now.
Klawak tribe's totem pole, the fight for the land otters, shows the very important part that totem poles play in the lives of the Northwest Indians. That's why their ancestors took such care in carving them by hand and painting them with beautiful, bright colors. And why did they make such strange carvings of birds, animals, and mysterious creatures on the totem poles? Why, they wanted to record the stories of their tribe and their adventures.
No wonder people travel thousands of miles to see these totem poles found only in the great Northwest.
Now, fellas and girls, here's the big news. You can get a miniature copy of the fight of the Land Otter's totem pole you heard about in today's story.
Not only that, Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat are offering you friends of Sergeant Preston a whole collection of five different totem poles.
The Fight of the Land Otter.
The Famous Thunderbird.
The Burial Pole.
The Killer Whale.
The Sun and Raven.
Yes, a complete collection of scale model totem poles, 4 inches high, made of pressed wood, and hand-painted in beautiful bright colors.
Everyone is different. Everyone is copied from real authentic totem poles that you would see today up in the great Northwest.
Think of the fun you can have building Indian teepees around them and taking them to school when you study Indian life.
And they're so easy to get. For the Fight with the Land Otter's totem pole in today's story, or the whole collection of all five different totem poles, just do this.
First, get a package of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
The special new packages now at grocers tell all about these totem poles.
Then tear off the box top, which has a special handy order blank with a list of the five totem poles right on it.
Just check the totem poles you want. And for every one you check, send 25 cents.
And if you want the whole collection, send only $1.
Send to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
Then, with your order, you'll get something extra. An interesting little booklet which tells the history and story of each totem pole.
What's more, if these aren't the most exciting miniature totem poles you ever saw, you'll get your money back.
Now, whether you want one or all of the five different totem poles, you only have to send one box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Then send 25 cents for each totem pole you want, or $1 for the whole collection.
But you must hurry. The limited supply will go fast.
Be the first in your gang to get these exciting totem poles.
Send right away, tonight, to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. And now a word about our next exciting adventure. When Sergeant Preston and Ted Sheridan start for the village of the Skeeton Indians to investigate a certain burial totem for some trace of Ted's father, who has disappeared with an expedition, they little realize that killers are following, waiting for the right moment to strike. Can they reach the village of the burial totem alive and perhaps find a clue to the whereabouts of Ted's father? Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-10 has all your family's cereal favorites. A regular cereal pantry. That's Quaker Pak-O-10. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. Pak-O-10, and only Pak-O-10, has wheat and rice shot from guns. And Pak-O-10 alone has the individual packages with the cellophane windows. There's both an inner and outer cellophane wrap to doubly protect that day it's made Christmas. Pick up a pack of Pak-O-10 at your grocer's tomorrow. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.